Welcome to the Fit Chicks Chat Podcast, where we talk all things fitness, nutrition, and wellness for women to help you live your healthiest and fiercest life inside and out. And now, your hosts, Laura Jackson and Amanda Quinn.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Fit Chicks Chat. I'm Amanda Quinn.
And I'm Laura Jackson.
And Laura, in today's podcast, we are back together again.
I'm so excited.
I missed you. I know, right? I know. It's like so amazing being able to interview all of these like awesome people in the fitness and health industry. And it's so inspiring and we're learning so much and we're being able to share so much information from all these different experts. But I really miss just like chatting with you too.
Well, and that's why I'm, you know, just for anyone who has listened to our podcast in the past, or if this is your first time listening to it, you know, we do our weekly Tuesday podcast where we either interview a fitness expert or a health professional who is female, and obviously to share their knowledge and their expertise. But we also still do, you know, us tag teaming a podcast and a topic. But for those who were so used to it just being me and Amanda, now we've kind of shifted because we want to really open up the doors and open up the table to any conversation that maybe it's an area that we're not so much of experts in, but we want to make sure that our listeners get that knowledge.
Yeah, get them as much information as we can. So it's exciting, but I definitely am excited to chat with you again too, because I miss you.
So, well, and for everyone who does miss us as well, because we miss you guys, we are adding a 10-minute chat. So every week we are also doing now our Tuesday podcast, but we're also doing a 10-minute chat to recap our thoughts on the podcast together. So that's going to be super fun as well.
Double whammy of Fit Chicks fun every week now.
I know. Who doesn't love that?
I know, right? It's going to be amazing. So for today, because we are back together again, and our topic of discussion is going to be all about how to be a healthy host. And I think that this is a really cool topic because it's one of those things that I think a lot of people struggle with, right? Because it's like, okay, I want to throw a party, I want to throw an event, but how do I do it so that it doesn't seem like super Snoreville because I'm serving like water and, you know, only salad because I'm trying to stick to my diet. Like, you don't want to be seen as like that host, or maybe you do, but a lot of times people get like a little apprehensive about it because they're like, oh, I'm really trying to stick to my own game plan. How do I do this in a healthy way? So that's what we're going to talk about today, because it's, and I think from a timing perspective, it's perfect, because right now in Canada, we've got Canada Day coming up, and then we also have Memorial Day. So they've just passed, but it's basically like everything, like it's all like events and stuff and summertime fun and like all these different like long weekends coming up. So it's like the perfect time to host an event, host a party. And so how do you do it? So Laura, I know that you love hosting little get-togethers now. And so how do you, what is sort of like your, you know, the way that you go about it? Before we even jump into like our topics, I'm just curious to know, like, what is sort of like your game plan when you're planning to host an event?
Well, the first thing I always do is, because I love to eat, I love food, and I always am concerned about my guests having enough food. So I always try to create my menu based on, you know, whatever the season is, but I always try to base it also on my nutrition philosophy and the way that I eat. So I'm not, you know, because I eat delicious real food, and I think everyone should eat delicious real food, and you can make it so it's, you know, it's accessible for everybody. Everyone's going to like it or try it. It doesn't have to be, you know, that we're eating goji berry soup or something that maybe the masses wouldn't be so excited about.
Which doesn't even sound that bad, but
I know, it's a dessert. Hello. But, but yeah, so my kind of nutrition philosophy, and I've talked about it a lot on the podcast, is that I focus my diet around healthy proteins. So lean proteins from good sources. I also eat healthy fats. So I really try to get a lot of fats in my diet that are polyunsaturated, monounsaturated. I do eat some saturated fat as well, which is mostly in animal products, but I try to get most of my fats from plants and nuts and seeds. And then I also have a lot of vegetables. So those are kind of my three things. So when I'm planning a menu, I try to really focus it around those three pieces. And if you combine those three things, you can make a lot of delicious finger foods. You could make full on dinner parties. And then it's still in line with the way that I eat. And I feel, cause I'm kind of one of those people too, health is my life, right? It's my job. It's my passion. So I wouldn't feel right serving somebody, you know, Pillsbury crescent roll hot dogs as an appetizer, which I know some people absolutely love.
What are they called? Cocktail weenies? I don't even know.
Pigs in a blanket, or I don't even know. But you know, if you can make some really awesome variations of that, using that as your inspiration and then make it healthier. You know, you can make your own crust from almond meal. You can, you can buy organic chicken sausage as opposed to using hot dogs. So there's a lot of options. You can get inspiration from things like that, but that's just something I wouldn't feel comfortable serving, even though maybe kids love it or other people love it. I'd rather do a variation that's in line with what I eat.
Well, yeah. I mean, and it's funny that you say that because I think that there's always a good variation. There's always good options. Like, and it's hilarious to me because even my husband's grandmother, so his Nonna, and so he's Italian and she is like 86 years old. And I go to her house and she always hosts like a dinner party for us whenever we're in town. And so she makes everything from scratch. Like she makes all of her homemade pastas and stuff, and all of her sauces come from the tomatoes that she grows in her backyard and everything. Like she's like, you know, old school, like everything is like done in house. And even with her, she knows that, you know, for me, that I like a lot of different vegetables and I like trying different things. So even the last time we went over there, she made homemade gnocchi, but instead of using regular potatoes, she actually used sweet potatoes. And she was like, oh, I've never tried it like this before. And she was so excited. But it was like, it was so cool to see how like, even she was inspired to try something a little bit different, you know, and to just try like to make it a little bit healthier, a little bit different, trying some different variations, you know? And so there's always options. So like what you were saying, you know, you can always take an option, take a recipe that you like, find inspiration for it, but then healthify it. And then
exactly.
So then going into sort of like our main topic. So I think, you know, you were saying like the first thing that you focus on is food. And so that's what we're going to focus on too, because who doesn't love food at a party? So first thing, bring on the food. So my philosophy is when people arrive, you should have food out. So it doesn't necessarily mean you have to have everything laid out on the table and it's like, you know, they have 100 options kind of thing. But I do really feel in order to be sort of a healthy host, you need to have some like crudités or some like healthy, like whether it's like fresh fruits and like veggies and dips and stuff like that, that's just laid out so that people can at least graze a little bit and have sort of that lighter fare, because you don't know where people are coming from, right? And so you don't want them coming and being like either super hangry, like the hungry, angry phase, or like they're really irritable, or they have really low blood sugar. And then as soon as the real food comes out, they like cram everything in because they're starving. So you want to give them the choice. So your best bet is always to kind of have stuff that's like out, that's nice and light. It's not going to like completely fill them up, but it is going to keep them so that at least the hunger can stay at bay.
Well, and that's one thing that I like to do, even when I was saying earlier about, you know, how I focus mostly on the proteins, the healthy fats, and some fiber. Even when I'm setting out when people first arrive, I like to have those three together because, of course, like you were saying, if you're coming, most people come to a party, or maybe it's just me, because I'm so excited about all the food I'm going to eat. I usually don't eat before. So if there's not something there, though, to kind of pick on, and especially if you are serving alcohol, it's going to be a setup for disaster. So, you know, like you were saying, having something light, but maybe it is just having, you know, some turkey meatballs on sticks and some veggies and dip. And then, you know, maybe the dip is made out of, it's a guacamole or a hummus or something like that. Because that way, at least, you know, the protein and the fat are really going to satisfy you and fill you up longer. And then you've got the fiber as well that's going to tide you over. So mm-hmm. if you just have something that's carbohydrate rich, really then you're setting up your guests for a little bit of disaster. And I see this a lot where people just set out fruit at the beginning. But fruit mm-hmm. is essentially it's sugar. So if you're eating that on an empty stomach, it's going to raise your blood sugar. It's going to make you hungrier as opposed to satisfying you. So by having the protein, the fiber, and the fat right from the jump, you're going to help to kind of, you know, keep your guests from getting hangry and also from getting too into the cocktails as well.
Definitely. And then going on that, I mean, the other thing too, that I always recommend when I think about being a healthy host is that you want to have food options. Like you want to definitely have like options because you want to be like, you know, giving people choices and maybe introducing them to something new or like having them try something really cool, a cool recipe that you found, etc. But you don't have to, I mean, unless you really want to, but you don't necessarily have to have like 20 different choices because the thing is, and the problem is that when you have those 20 choices, the chances are your guests are going to try all of those 20 things as long as it falls within line of like their food that they can take in, like their food philosophies or their diet restrictions, et cetera. But if you have 20 options versus 10 options, either way, they'll probably try all of it because everyone gets excited, right? Like at an event, they're like, oh, I got to try that. I got to try a bite of this. I want to try a bite of that. And if you're trying to do this in a healthy manner so that you're not, you know, making like you're kind of staying in line with your own personal goals and then also trying to like at least host but also introduce people to like a healthier sort of event, you don't want to necessarily have them having 20 different things. Even if it is all healthy stuff, it's still just like excessive amounts of food.
Oh yeah. And
sorry,
I mean, this is where it's good to do some recon work. Right. Mm-hmm. So if you already kind of, and now the thing that's cool with a lot of online things like online systems, you actually can create, there's actually a website too called jotform.ca. Mm-hmm. And I got this as part of an invitation to an upcoming party, which I thought was really cool. So she sent the invite and then she sent a link to this Jotform, or maybe it's jotform.com. Anyways, it's a free site and she had created this form asking for dietary restrictions, people's preferences when it came to meat, people's preferences if they didn't eat meat. So it gave her, obviously, you know, she did her recon work and she created a menu that was around what her guests actually wanted, as opposed to feeling cool. Like not only that she had to, you know, cook all these different variations, that's also really expensive, but then you end up having leftover food, your guests end up overeating, and it might not even be to their taste. So I thought that was a really cool thing to do, to find out in advance, and it's a free site, so you don't even have to worry about, you know, paying for that or being like, respond to this email, blah, blah, blah. It was just like, fill out this form.
Cool. That is
cool. Yeah, I thought that was super cool.
And then the last thing about bringing on the food, well, sort of the last thing, but is about dessert. Because, okay, this I think is like one of those things where people feel as though if they're trying to be a healthy host, they have to avoid dessert at all costs because they always think of dessert. Like, I mean, whenever you think of dessert, you always think, I mean, at least I do, I always think like a chocolate fondue, like fountain, or like whenever I think of an event or I think of like big, crazy, like chocolate cakes and like, I always think chocolate, whatever, for some reason, I love chocolate. Don't judge. But I always think of those things. Like, I'm like, oh, that's what's going to happen. But really the reality is that dessert is really meant to be just like to satisfy that little bit of like a sweet craving after a meal. Right. But some amazing things that do that are like fresh berries, or if you make your own like delicious, like healthy ice cream or healthy popsicles where you like actually puree fresh fruit and then like freeze it. There's so many cool recipes out there. Dessert doesn't have to be the chocolate fondue fountain. It can be, but it doesn't have to be. And so it's like, you have options. You don't have to completely nix it in order to be a healthy host. You can have different choices. Another one is like protein bites, like homemade little protein bites and stuff like that, depending again on people's restrictions, but like you have choices. So, you know, the whole point is like, try to like think outside of the chocolate box.
Well, and a lot of people, they don't actually want something sweet at the end of a meal. And a lot of cultures, they don't even serve dessert mm-hmm. at the end. So something that I actually do is I just do on a cutting board because I like that kind of rusticy wooden look. I'll lay out all different berries. So raspberries, blackberries, strawberries, blueberries, because those are the lower sugar fruits, right? They're the ones that they have a ton of antioxidants. They're not going to raise blood sugar as much. They're lower in calories. And I set those out on like a cutting board, and then I break up good quality dark chocolate in between. And dark chocolate is one of the best things I find to serve after a barbecue too, because again, it doesn't have that high sugar content, but it's got that richness and that kind of chocolatey, if you are someone who's sweet, to kind of tide you over. You could also do some variations of cheese too. So if you're going to do something like a goat cheese or a sheep cheese, they're usually easier digestible if people are, they do have lactose issues. So if they do have problems having any dairy, usually the goat's cheese and the sheep cheese are easier on the digestive tract. So those are some things that, you know, if you set out a platter like that, it's just, it's nice to kind of pick on without having, again, you know, like a huge like sugar bomb going on. And it also looks kind of fancy, you know, because I like to fake fancy. I'm not really fancy.
You're good. I'm faux fancy. You're a good faker though. I'm telling you, you pull it off easily.
Why, thank you. even though they don't know what's going on behind the scenes, I do like 10 outfit changes because I spill everything on myself.
I do know that. That's why I'm saying you do a good job. You do a good job faking it because I've lived with you. So I know. And we threw parties together and they were not fancy. So I know this.
But that's why it's so, I mean, when it comes to food, and this is just kind of the last thing on there, is that, you know, we have so many resources now that if you are someone who's never hosted before and you're like freaking out about it, or you have no idea how to, you know, kind of turn some of your recipes a little bit more into the healthy zone, there's so many websites now and the Pinterest boards and all that stuff where you can really get a lot of inspiration. And you've got to be easy on yourself too, because it should be fun. And really, hosting is about getting together your family and your friends and enjoying life and celebrating, you know, food and conversation. So it's something that you got to kind of chill out on yourself and just go with the flow. You know, I used to get myself so stressed out before I had people over. And then I just realized something will always go wrong. You just have to embrace it.
I'm just going to, and this is just like a funny little anecdote to share, but before we hosted when Laura and I used to live together, before we hosted our very first get together, and I still remember, Laura, it was we had a Christmas party and we decided to do like this Christmas party. We had never thrown a party at our house before. I contacted one of my friends and I was like, oh my gosh, I'm kind of nervous. Like, what if people don't have fun? You know, cause like you have those like self doubts, right? And I was like, what do? You host parties all the time. And he gave me some really bad advice. And so that's why I'm sharing this, because I don't think that this is advice that you should follow. I think that you should avoid this. And that's why I'm sharing this. His advice to me was, always make sure that you are having the most fun and that you are more drunk than anybody else at your party. That way there, you don't really care. And I followed that advice to a T, and it was a real disaster. And I'm just telling everyone that's listening, that is not a healthy host.
No, that party was a nightmare. And we paid for it both by, I think, no one came to our house for like a year afterwards, and also by the hangovers that we had. So do not, you know, obviously if you're in your 20s, you've got to make some mistakes and learn from them, but learn from ours.
Yeah, we were young at the time, but I'm sharing it only because I'm like, you know, if you're having those apprehensions and anyone ever gives you that advice, don't follow it. You can have fun, and you can, and just like what Laura was saying, like try not to like build it up to being such a big deal. I built it up in my brain to be such a big deal. I was so stressed out about it that I let it overtake any other rational thought.
But that's something that's really important too, though, to note as a host, because you do, and especially if you're trying to healthy host, you do need to make sure that you are paying attention to the fact if you have eaten or not, because you end up getting so concerned about your guests. And then if you start having, you know, a glass of wine and whatnot, and you're on that empty stomach, the next thing you know, you're running on adrenaline and you are three sheets to the wind.
Oh my gosh. It's like people at weddings, like the brides at weddings, you always see it happen. Like I'm not naming any names. I'm not saying anything, but I know I've seen it in terms of like at weddings where people are like, oh my gosh, I haven't had time to eat anything. And then they just keep drinking and drinking. And then it's like it's a disaster, right? So always,
and one, and one little side to do with that as well, staying with just on the alcohol as a healthy host, B vitamins are the cofactors in the enzyme that your liver needs to metabolize alcohol. So if just make sure too that you are getting a good B complex in around the time that you are hosting, because it's going to also save you from getting too drunk. It shouldn't be a strategy all the time, but it will help you.
Yeah, that's definitely not our like healthy host strategy. That's not our big takeaway, but it will help. So I know that we were talking about like how to like present the food, but then I guess the other thing that I want to talk about just really quickly is about loading up on veggies, because as a healthy host, going back to the food for a second, it's like veggies are key because they're filling, they're delicious, and there's so many ways that you can present them. Like you can barbecue them, oven roast them, or just make like amazing salads. My recommendation though is if you are making salads, try to avoid using store-bought dressings. Make your own. They're so easy to make. Like literally I make all of my own dressings now, and they take me like maybe 1 minute to make. I put them in mason jars, shake them up. I find all my recipes online. I just Google them. I try different things all the time. I find the ones that are like become my faves, and then I just like, you know, I favorite them in my history. And it's so simple and it tastes so much better. It's fresh, it's delicious. And then with your salads too, and this is sort of my last added thing, is oftentimes when we're putting together salads, we want to have like, we want to make them all delicious. So we're like adding like a lot of cheese and nuts and dried fruits and all those things. But all of that combined really like overpowers the salad and takes the calorie count up like huge. And I'm not like a huge calorie counter by any means. Everybody knows that listens here. But at the same time, I also believe that like, you know, if you're eating a salad, you should still try to keep it like mostly veggie based. And if you are wanting to have something like more of a sweeter salad, try adding just like fresh fruit, like add like fresh berries or apples, like something like that, that's going to be a lower glycemic fruit. Because I find the dried fruits, oftentimes they're just like completely like, what is the process that they do? Because all of a sudden, like a dried strawberry versus a fresh strawberry is like, it's like 10 times more sugar in dried versus fresh. Why is that, Laura?
Well, a lot of times it's just because we end up eating more. You know, with a dried apricot, you're not just eating one, whereas in real life, you'd probably eat one fresh apricot.
Oh, yeah.
So it removes out all of the water. But a lot of times too, what they end up doing is they put in preservatives and sulfites to dry out the fruit and preserve them. And even when I know at our retreats, I used to bring in during the nutrition workshop what organic dried apricots look like versus fresh, versus the ones that you would get at your regular bulk store. And the ones we're used to seeing are that, you know, that bright, beautiful orangey color. But when you get the organic ones, they're brown. They look almost like rotten. And, but they taste so much more delicious. But it's just because, you know, it's all the preserving methods too. So it's just, it's a lot better obviously to eat the fresh fruit.
And you'll anything also fresh, anything fresh when it's available. No, that's a really good point though, about like how you would eat less. I never really think of that, but yeah, like I wouldn't sit and eat like seven apricots, but I would totally eat seven dried ones if they were like in front of me, because I love dried apricots, as you know, even though I'm allergic to them. So it's like, I know that I'm allergic to them, but I can't stop eating them when they're around me. So I just don't buy them, obviously. But that's a really good point because of the size ratio, right? In your brain, you just think of it as like, oh, it's just like a little snack versus it's actually like an apricot. So then the next step, I guess the next piece, like moving away from food, we definitely have to talk from a healthy host standpoint, is avoiding the slushy summer sugar bomb cocktails. And I know that like some of you might be listening right now and you might be like wanting to shut this podcast off because you're like, what? Like you want me to like not make daiquiris or pina coladas? Like, are you kidding me? I need to make my Texas size cocktails. And there's, I get it. Like, they're delicious and like sangria is like amazing, but you have so many other options. And did you know that the average strawberry daiquiri, and this is not the Texas size ones, people, this is like just like a regular, like in like a regular glass is 216 calories and 35 grams of sugar. And that in order for you to burn that strawberry daiquiri off, so the little one at only 216, would take you approximately 181 burpees to burn that off. I found a burpee counter and I figured this out for you. So you're welcome. So think about that. Every time you drink one of those daiquiris, you're like 181 burpees. Like how many people listening are like, even doing 10 burpees is like torture. Imagine having to do 181 just to get rid of one of those cocktails versus other drug cocktails that you could have that would be like, you know, maybe half the calorie count. So you don't you do half of those burpees.
Well, and that's something where like when it comes to booze, you can just completely sabotage like your healthy eating habits or whatever your goals are. Like you can do a lot of damage really fast. And it's not saying like don't ever have a drink. I love wine. I love cocktails. You know, if I'm not training for a specific goal, I was drinking white wine spritzers this weekend. Yes, I'm 107. But, you know, it's one of those things where you have to remember, though, that your body, when you have alcohol in your system, your body burns alcohol first. So it burns alcohol, then it burns sugar, and then it burns fat. So if you are drinking booze, no matter what, your body is going to stop its fat burning process and say, okay, I got to get this alcohol out of here because alcohol is toxic to the body. So it's something that I know a lot of people, they think, oh, but I'm drinking, you know, I'm within my calorie count or under my calorie count for weight loss, but I'm drinking booze. Why am I not losing weight? Well, it's because your body is just burning off the alcohol before it's even tapping into the rest of the energy stores. So it's not,
oh, wow.
To me, it's like,
so for anyone, sorry to interrupt you, but for anyone that's listening who does the whole, oh, well, I'm just not going to eat today so I can use my calories for wine. And I know that there's some of you out there. It doesn't work that way.
Well, yeah, like the at most, especially if you're looking for weight loss or for muscle building too. What's going to end up happening is that you will probably just either stay the same. if you know, if all you do is drink and you don't overeat for that day, your body's not going to change, but you're never going to reach your goals if you're drinking all the time. So you got to, obviously if you're going to work in one or two drinks, that's okay. But if you're drinking a lot, they say it takes up to like 4 days after you've finished a night of like serious drinking to fully get that alcohol out of your system and to actually de-bloat from it. So you're still going to be retaining water. It's still going to be keeping you sluggish during your workouts because your liver is detoxifying you. Your liver has over 500 jobs. Like, and the
that
first
is like
one
quite
is always
the multitasker.
Exactly. And the first one is to always keep you, obviously not toxic. You don't want to be full of poison. And when you're drinking alcohol, that's poison. So it's got to clear that out before it can do anything else. So, we're kind of digressing here, but when it comes to healthy hosting, if you're going to do the alcohol, great. Well, that's fine. In my world, great
of
right
course.
Now. I do love a cocktail. But
excellent. I'm coming.
Yeah. Think about some options, though, that are not super sugary, too. Because if your body has to clear the alcohol, then it also has to clear the sugar. This is a whole, you know, an extra process, extra calories, extra work for your body, and it's going to derail you a lot. So try some drinks. Like, you know, one thing that I always go back to, and I've, you know, since I've been young, is doing vodka with soda. So, and then doing a lot of fresh fruit in it. So fresh limes, fresh strawberries. They also have a lot of flavored vodkas now that don't have any added sugar. And when it comes to things like vodka as well, any of the clear liquids, they are gluten-free. So if you are somebody who has a gluten intolerance or you bloat up from having gluten, then going with the hard liquors as opposed to going with like a beer and stuff like that is going to be obviously a lot better for your body. Also doing things, you know, switching out your sangria instead of most sangrias are made with juice and with ginger ale and stuff like that. So if you make a homemade sangria and you do it with, again, fresh fruit, with soda, with fresh squeezed fruit juice, as opposed to, you know, a lot of the process and the extra sugary drinks, you'll do a lot better.
Yeah. Definitely. So definitely you want to avoid those sugar bombs. And then the last part about being a healthy host is let the games begin. And so this is like, I truly believe that especially like in the summer months when you can be outside and everything else, get up and get moving. Like remember every movement counts. So it could be like backyard games, like washer toss. Like how much do we love washer toss? Right.
And like,
I know, or like even just like having like a fun little game of like soccer or badminton, like anything like that, where you're just moving as opposed to just sitting. Same thing, go for a swim. You can burn about 250 calories in a half hour with a leisurely swim, and you also get cooled off, right? So fantastic way to just like get moving, have a dance party. It is a party after all, so you know, you can get moving, and then also just like play with kiddos. If it is a kids, like if it's a kid-friendly party, you have kids there as well, play hide and seek or tag with them. Like anything that you can do to still keep moving as opposed to just kind of like, you know, having some food, having some drinks, and then just kind of sitting there. Of course, don't get me wrong, like it's super nice to just relax and have good conversation, but you can also have a really fun time playing like volleyball with your friends or badminton or any of those things too. So keep in mind that it doesn't have to necessarily just be a seated only party.
And I think those are a lot more fun too, you know, to put some effort into planning some things, to get people moving, to get people interacting. Because I know as well for a lot of people I even know, like I'm a social person, so I don't mind having conversation. But the thing for me as well is I'm an extroverted introvert. So what ends up happening is I don't like small talk. It makes me like uber uncomfortable. So if I'm just sitting around and I have to small talk with people, I literally feel super anxious. So if you have some planned events, and speaking for myself, there's obviously other people who are feel that way. There's a lot of people who are really shy, and a party event's really uncomfortable for them. But if there's a planned thing to do, like maybe it's a scavenger hunt where kids can get involved too, or you're playing washer toss, or you're having like, you know, maybe it's a game of trivia or something that's going on, but just having something that will get your guests a little bit more engaged into an activity as opposed to having just to talk to each other, it also will make for a better party for people who aren't as social.
Totally. Especially if it's like a group of people that don't really know each other. Like if you're mixing groups, or if you have like, you know, work colleagues or something like that, like where, or like family over that like is maybe extended family as well and things like that, that you don't see that often. It's always nice to have that little like, okay, like here's kind of like the break from like the awkwardness. We're going to play washer toss. Everybody get into teams. You know, it totally will change up the energy in your group as well. And it'll also keep people from, you know, overeating or overindulging on the alcohol. So they may thank you later because they might also be trying to stay on their game plan. All right. So that was it for today for our how to be a healthy host. So just to recap, it's, you know, get the food out there, try to follow your own food philosophies, whatever you believe in, but just find interesting ways to like, you know, be creative with it and introduce new delicious foods. Definitely load up on veggies as an option. Avoid the sugar bomb cocktails. Look for different recipes and easy ways in order to incorporate, if you are incorporating alcohol in your party. But look for low-cal, low-sugar options. And get people up and moving. All right, so as always, we want to hear from you. If you want to email us, if you have any questions, if you have any topics that you want to hear us chat about or anything at all, we'd love to hear from you, info@fitchicks.ca. And if you are interested in learning more about any of our upcoming certification programs, check us out at fitchicksacademy.com. And finally, if you love what you're hearing and you love the Fit Chicks podcast, we would love to also hear from you. So please leave comments below on our podcast. Make sure to like it, share it, and we appreciate you listening so much. Thank you so much for listening. And we will talk to you soon. Have a great day.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Fit Chicks Chat Podcast. Want more healthy love? Visit www.fitchicks.com for amazing resources, free workouts, recipes, tips, and so much more to help you live your healthiest and fiercest life, inside and out.